Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the City of Angels. On our way to the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, the site of the Final Four. We'll be on a jet plane shortly after the show. We'll be covering college basketball's Final Four tomorrow live from Minneapolis. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show, brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay ahead of the game. Put their experience into play at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
The divorce is final, and what happens in a divorce, maybe what's most interesting in a divorce, is the divorce proceedings, not the divorce itself. Right? The reason that couples settle and don't go to divorce court is you don't want the ugly, petty little details of a long relationship or even a short relationship to become public. Once they do, now we start to see who people really are, who they really are. And this was a couple in Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers who never should have been married to begin with. They just shouldn't. And once they started stopped talking, as I've said many a times, as is relationships in marriage, in business, in life, when the communication stops, the relationship stops. And so Bleacher Report has an article out, and it basically goes through chapter and verse of so many different issues. Mike McCarthy, we read you the quotes from yesterday. His first comments after being fired, he was surprised. He was shocked that he was fired. He seems to be the only one. The rest of us thought it was a foregone conclusion that he was out. And the only thing impressive about the Packers was that they had the foresight to do it early rather than wait till it became super, super ugly. Week 3 of the 2017 season, Aaron Rodgers caught on camera barking, "That's a stupid effing call," towards his coach. There's the 2015 NFC Championship game where McCarthy called for field goals from the 1 yard line, causing eye rolls galore from the same Aaron Rodgers. 2013, when they're playing Cincinnati and it looked like Rodgers and McCarthy would come to blows. Heck, they even go all the way back to when Aaron Rodgers was first coached by Mike McCarthy. And they went 15-1. But Aaron Rodgers, who, like an elephant, never forgets, remembers that McCarthy was in the draft room for the San Francisco 49ers when they, his favorite team growing up, frankly, his hometown team growing up, selected Alex Smith ahead of Aaron Rodgers, causing Aaron Rodgers to be left in the green room till the 24th pick, and he's ultimately selected by the Green Bay Packers. There's some other interesting stuff in it. Ted Thompson's inability to stay awake during meetings caused them to figuratively not stay awake during free agency. These are ugly divorce details. And by the way, if you want to know why the NFL settled with Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed, this is why. No, I get it. This is not court documents, court testimony. Okay? But once you have an order where no one can share any sort of information, all of these, it's the other stuff that comes out. This is why corporations settle, even if they don't believe they've done anything wrong. Because ancillary details like this, which make Aaron Rodgers look petulant, make Mike McCarthy look dumb, make Aaron Rodgers look like a jerk for pointing out that he believed that Mike McCarthy had the lowest football IQ of anybody he ever played for. Hell, if you actually go look into it, it says that they ran the same routes. The wide receivers ran the same routes for 7 years. You know? So if you want to know why Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid were given money, now reported as less than $10 million by the NFL, if they didn't, why would you do it if you didn't collude? This is why. Because once the details emerge, they don't even have to necessarily do with the case at hand. It's all the other stuff that comes out. Because this stuff looks ugly. Ugly. And it makes Aaron Rodgers look really hard to coach, and it makes Mike McCarthy look really hard to employ. I'll say this. The Packers did McCarthy a favor by firing him early. It gave him the ability to go and explore and get another job. I'll also tell you this. The Jets had a chance to hire Mike McCarthy. They had a young quarterback. And instead, they chose a guy who wasn't winning a ton in Miami. Why? Because they had a body of work. They called around the NFL. And people said, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is tough to work with. But you'd be tough to work with too if your offense was the same for seven straight years and everybody knew what was coming. Right? Why would Adam Gase, who looks like he's chasing a bee with his eyes, be a better hire when he was, hasn't won bubkis as a head coach? And his lone success as an offensive coordinator was with the sheriff, Peyton Manning, in Denver. Why would you hire one over the other? Here's the reason why. Not only did he fail to intellectually impress his quarterback, he obviously didn't intellectually impress the league. Think about all the jobs that were open. Think about all the no names that were hired. Now you know why. The NFL is a really, really smart business. They are looking for the next smart dudes. And Mike McCarthy apparently isn't one of them. Isn't one of them. Maybe most impressive is how good they were in spite of their lack of a relationship, right? Like, if you kind of go back and look at it, you're like, man, that was a really beneficial relationship, considering the two men clearly didn't like each other, one didn't respect the other, and it wasn't a relationship that was bound to last until death do them part. Like, maybe this is a sick and twisted way of looking at it, but they actually succeeded for the most part in spite of the fact that they didn't get along. And when I read it about Mike McCarthy, who was encouraging Aaron Rodgers to make amends with his mom, who he had no relationship with, it just strikes me that Mike McCarthy has no idea about who Aaron Rodgers is or what he stands for. His lack of personal investment in his quarterback, his lack of understanding in who he was and what his beef was with his parents, showed beyond any reasonable doubt to me, because I am somebody who I know Aaron Rodgers well enough to I know what his issue is, but I also know that I'm never going to say it on air. Because those are the type of things which get you out of the Aaron Rodgers circle of trust. And by the way, it's a personal thing. It's not any of your business. It's definitely not any of Mike McCarthy's business, but it's a wall issue with Aaron Rodgers. And you don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. But you know what you probably shouldn't do? Probably shouldn't encourage your quarterback to make amends when he has no desire to do so. And then the one guy who he did respect, Rodgers I'm talking about, who he did respect, who did call him on the carpet, who did intellectually challenge him, Alex Van Pelt, you fired because you're insecure that he was after your job. And if you're insecure, about your job and worried about keeping your job, you'll end up losing your job anyway. And that's what happened to McCarthy. Dude, you got to know your employees. You got to know who works for you, what they do best, how they operate, what gets the most out of them. Invest in them as people. Understand their psychological makeup. And hey, every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with calling somebody in and going, you know what? I was wrong on that. It doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers is always right. It doesn't mean that you can't call out Aaron Rodgers, but when you do, you better be prepared for him to question why you're questioning him. Look, my takeaway is Aaron Rodgers is everything that I thought he was.
Everything he appears to be, anytime I've interacted with him or I've read about him, is like, look, that guy is tricky. He's really smart. And he knows he's really smart. He's really talented. He knows he's really talented. He's challenging. But guess what? There's most people in the business world who are really successful can, in fact, be challenging. There's just different ways to be challenging. And Mike McCarthy caught up in the old school world of having a huge ego, all hat and very little cattle, got caught in the transitioning NFL when intelligence works and leadership is something that you have to understand the different mental characteristics and makeups of your players. The divorce proceedings coming out are really telling, and now you know why so many people settle.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Take a listen to what Kobe Bryant said on Sirius XM earlier today about LeBron's first season with the Lakers.
Do you get a chance to talk to LeBron and do you guys chat?
No. I mean, there's nothing to chat about. Like, he knows and I know. Injuries decimated the team. Just relax. Come back next season, regroup, right? You know, I think he has enough poise to understand that. The thing that maybe caught him off guard was just the market. And, like, you know, like I said, fans here don't play.
No, they don't play.
Like, you know, I know. Because, like, I was dealing with it when I had, you know, Smush Parker and those guys. I'm looking around like, dude, what you want me to do? And L.A. is like, it's your fault. Right. Figure it out. Like, you got to. We don't want to hear that. We need a championship. The buck stops with you. Figure it out. And that's what LA don't play, man. And that's how they bring the best out of their players.
This is LeBron James, what he told Bleacher Report. I've never played fantasy basketball, but I will be as active as I need to be for this franchise to get better. That's why I came here. I came here to win. And obviously, we need to get better. As far as our personnel, we have an opportunity to get better. And there's a lot of talent out there and a lot of guys that can help our franchise. So I'll be as active as I need to be for us to get better and go from there. It's a critical summer for myself, obviously. The franchise is going to live forever. But for me personally, it's very critical because I want to compete, and I want to compete now. LeBron James has basically just stated that the rest of his career will be determined based upon what happens over the next 4 months. Right? The next 4 months. Because they don't actually have to trade for Anthony Davis. Like, this is all they got to trade for. No, they don't. Kawhi Leonard's available. Kyrie Irving's available. Kevin Durant could be available. He can opt out of his contract. Kemba Walker could be available. There's a litany. This is the summer of free agency, and the Lakers have put themselves in position for at least one superstar. And potentially two, if they move some money around. More likely one, and then another top-line free agent that's not making superstar money. So you can say, hey, I've never played fantasy basketball, but of course that's his code word for recruiting guys. You can say, I've never done that, but I'll do it as need to be, which you know, hits me as, hey, look, Magic's got to activate this guy. Your playoff mode activation didn't seem to work. Will your recruiting mode activation work? Magic and Rob Pelinka, hey, dude, go get us Kawhi Leonard. Whatever fears, concerns, whatever is holding these guys back from coming and joining you, you go alleviate them. Get on the G5. Fly to their hometown. You know, do it on the cell, do it on the plane, take them on vacation, put them on the damn banana boat. We don't care. Get it done. But you can, in fact, in the NBA, determine your own fate. Or at least show us the perception of Kobe was nobody wanted to play with Kobe. Fair or unfair, it's a little bit of both. Nobody wanted to play with Kobe late in his career. They couldn't get guys to come here. After what went wrong with Dwight Howard and how they talked and felt about each other,
and how Kobe treated him after he left. I mean, like, in Kobe's defense, to people who said Kobe was a bad teammate or a tough teammate to play with, hey, Pau Gasol had a reputation of being soft and couldn't win anywhere. Then he came to Lakers and became a two-time NBA champion. Right? Had the best years of his career. And when the Chris Paul trade was made and then rescinded, Pau Gasol was devastated. Why? He didn't want to leave playing with the Lakers. He didn't want to leave playing with Kobe Bryant. So we can tell the world on how bad a teammate and tough a teammate Kobe Bryant was. The reality is there's plenty of guys that benefited from him. And Kobe's right. Injuries did decimate this team. And they will get better organically and growing. You know, there's a little bit of, we talked about Aaron Rodgers, a little bit of Aaron Rodgers and Kobe Bryant. Challenging, challenges you to compete, challenges you to be an intellectual athlete. But if you're going to sit there and tell me that, hey, if they want me to talk to somebody, I'll talk to somebody. I'll do whatever's asked of me. Like, no. Again, even here, LeBron James isn't getting it. If I'm LeBron James, it's pretty simple. Look, this year didn't work out as well as we liked. Injuries decimated us. The trade deadline talk didn't help. And I wasn't as good. Like, where is the I wasn't as good as I should have been? Some of that's injury. Some of that's adjusting. Some of that's age. Some of that's just, I got to be better. I got to be better. And this summer is going to be spent getting my body, my mind, and my team better. And I will do whatever it takes to go and get the best roster possible combined with the roster that we have here. Right? Remember the Hampton Five? Hey, the Hampton Five was five Golden State Warriors and their head coach flying from Southern California and all their hometowns, wherever they were, Steph, in the offseason, to go to the Hamptons and recruit Kevin Durant. Hell, the Boston Celtics went and got Tom Brady. What's Tom Brady doing here? Tom Brady got on the plane, didn't he? And they got together like, Tom, get on the plane. Get on the plane, Tom. Tommy, get on the plane. They get Tom Brady on the plane with Doc Rivers and the rest of the Celtics brass, and they went and pitched him. And so I will be as active as I need to be. No. I'm going to be hyperactive. I'm going to take days off from taping Space Jam 2. I'm going to put people in movie roles with the soul thinking behind it is, hey, I'm going to get you in a movie and you're going to help me win a championship. I will do whatever it takes within the rules. You want to come on Barbershop? You know? You want your own show in the Uninterrupted? Then here's what you got to do. You got to come out and play with us. Or you don't even have to play with us. You got to come take a meeting with Magic. You got to come meet these guys. See our facility. Talk to Luke. Even if you know Luke's not going to be your coach, and even if you know most of these guys won't be your teammates, this is not that hard. Not that difficult. I'm going to just tell you this about Cowherd, okay? Cowherd came here, I think, a year before me. 2 years? 2 years before me? He's been here for, because this is basically my two-year anniversary is like next week of being on air here.
Because I believe he was here for a year, Then Skip came, so that was another 1 year. So then he would have been here for two full years before then you came on.
From the moment that he first pressed the microphone on at Fox Sports Radio, at least once a week, I got a text or a call from Colin Cowherd. And it ain't like basketball where you need to be in a team sport. Like, he didn't need me. He was just like, it's the best place I've ever worked. It's home for you. You got to come out here. These people are awesome. You got to come out here. What do we got to do? When is your contract up? How do we get this done? Who do you want me to call? That's what you do. I mean, look, that's what you do when you're in college. If you have a class and the class is easy, right? You're like, man, that was an easy A. What's the first thing you do? You tell your boys, don't you? Like, that's what you do. You go and recruit your boys. If you find, or in your hometown, if you find a new restaurant and you're like, man, they got a bar out back nobody knows about, you got to come over here. And when the end of your career is at stake, you got to do, frankly, what the San Antonio Spurs have always told people, get over yourself. Forget about the pride of having people join you. Get out and recruit them because everybody else is recruiting. LeBron is almost like UCLA basketball. Right, where they just think like, we're UCLA. People want to come here. That's what the Lakers have been. We're the Lakers. Who doesn't want to come here? But, you know, it's not always as easy as it looks. If things go bad, people do turn on you. We don't know who the next coach is. The leadership has been a little bit hit and miss. Heck, one report today said that no one in the front office has any sense for what the plan actually is. Nobody agrees on what the plan is. It's a mess. And the one guy who can make it all look right is LeBron James. Well, I'll be as active as I need to be. No! You'll be more active than anybody who has ever been in your position could be.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Chris Haynes is an NBA senior writer for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Chris B. Haynes. Check out his podcast posted up with Chris Haynes. He's kind enough to spend some time with us here on Fox Sports Radio. Chris, there's a report, I believe Rick Bucher has a report, that everyone in the Golden State Warriors organization believes Kevin Durant is in fact gone. Is that what you're hearing?
There's a lot of people who feel that way. Then there's some who are optimistic that a finals run or another, you know, capturing the third consecutive championship, which will change things. But no, there's some sentiment of people who feel that way. And I'm not ready to go all the way and say that, you know, it's a foregone conclusion that he is going to New York. I still think there's other parameters in play. But we've known for a while the Knicks were going to be serious players, and that hasn't changed.
What are the other possible scenarios? That's the one that gets interesting. Is it's possible he stays? It's possible he goes. Where else could he possibly go?
You know, I don't know if there's another place. You know, I know the LA Clippers. They're going to make a serious run at them. And, you know, you see what they're doing with the changing of the guard, ownership group, new ownership group. Doc Rivers, you know, had his best season there. The cap room that they're going to have to bring in legitimate stars, you know, so you can tell they're turning things around. But I think when it's all said and done, it's three teams in play. That's Golden State, New York, and the Clippers that I think are going to be serious contenders. But you know, I reported this back in November. They kind of started this whole thing with the New York Knicks. You know, they're right there. We've seen the moves that they made to position themselves to be able to acquire Kevin Durant and go after another star. So this thing has been serious for a while. And, I just think, knowing Kevin Durant, he changed his mind a lot. So that's why I can't be so sold on a decision already being made right now, because there are a lot of factors in play. And when you're talking about factors, you know, the main one is just, you know, how they're in the season off. You know, so that's just one thing that I'm going to be looking at. And, you know, you just can't with KD, you just can't go off of something right now when you say he's legitimately going that way. You know, he's more complicated than that.
Why do they continue to challenge referees? Like, what is the logic behind that? Like, look, he's got 15 tees. Draymond's got 15 tees. And you can say, hey, we expect this out of Draymond. And, you know, Kevin's trying to kind of capture his, but, you know, even Steph Curry got fined for what he said about an official. Why do the Golden State Warriors want to put them against the referees getting ready for the playoffs?
Man, that's just who they are. I mean, look, you got Draymond, who's always been Draymond. He's stacking up tees, he's always at the top of the league. Kevin Durant has been that way his whole career as well. And then you add DeMarcus Cousins, who who's obviously been, you know, quite the model citizen, you know, when you talk about racking up fees. So you just got a bunch of guys who are playing together, and they get heated. And, you know, what Steph said, you know, that wasn't like him, you know, to go out there and say he was the MVP of the team, you know, because even MVP of that game, talking about the official, because even though they had their gripes with the officiating that game, you know, they were up, you know, close to 20 points in that game in Minnesota. They should have won. It shouldn't have came down to that, you know, to that final play at the end. So, you know, I wasn't really feeling them on that, but, you know, I just think you just have a bunch of tech rackers all on the same team, and we just seeing how all those dynamics play.
LeBron James has come out and said he'll be as active as he needs to be in free agency. There are reports that there's no one sense of what the actual plan is with the LA Lakers in the offseason. How do you think they proceed? Like, they could sign a free agent, but the narrative in the NBA is, well, they can't get the best ones to go there. That's why they're going after Anthony Davis. What do you think their actual plan of attack is going to be?
Well, look, I think first and foremost, the actual plan of attack, they need to concentrate on Anthony Davis. Because, like I said, like when you're looking at the top free agents out there, none of the top free agents are directly linked to the Lakers. They may be the Lakers may be a secondary option, but you look at KD. We've heard, you know, the teams that we talk about with regards to him. Kyrie Irving, you're here in Boston, you're here in New York. You're not really hearing too much of L.A., and the only reason you would hear L.A. is because of ties with LeBron. But I don't know how serious that is. And then you look at Kawhi Leonard. You're only hearing him staying in Toronto or going to the L.A. Clippers. Jimmy Butler, you're hearing a little bit of the Lakers, but, you know, it's Philadelphia. You know, it's New York, it's Brooklyn, it's the L.A. Clippers. And then does Jimmy Butler, does that put you over a hump with just LeBron and Jimmy? So that's why I say, you know, if the Lakers want to make a big splash and make a move that's going to put them in title contention for next season, they have to get that AD trade done and then go from there and proceed with filling the roster up.
There's a report, and Kyrie's talked about it, an improved relationship with the Boston Celtics between Kyrie and Brad Stevens. What was wrong with their relationship that had to be improved?
I don't know. Kyrie, you know, he's a tough cat. Like, you know, I've said this before, you know, I covered the Cavaliers for 2 years, and Kyrie was always the toughest player I had to, you know, cover. You know, you just couldn't figure him out. Like, one day, you know, he's okay, engaging. Other days, he'll walk right by you with his head down, like he doesn't know you. And I remember Terry Rozier about a month ago said, you know, when Kyrie's in a good mood, we play well. And when he's not, you know, we don't. And that was really telling right there. Just the fact that a guy's mood can kind of affect how the game goes for that team. So, you know, look, I wouldn't buy too much into it right now because that can all change next week. You know what I mean? Like, Kai's just that type of guy, but he's definitely talented on the floor. I feel like he's one of the best closers in the league. And but I just think, like, when you're talking about Kyrie and Kevin Durant, they're pretty close friends. You know, I don't know if it'd be a stretch to say that they're best friends. But if you look at how they both handle things, they handle the media, you know, you can kind of connect the dots or why they are such good friends. So I couldn't say anything is set in stone with any of those guys.
Great stuff. Chris Haynes is a senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Chris B. Haynes. Check out his podcast, Post It Up with Chris Haynes. Chris, thanks so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks, Doug. Take care, man.
Pleasure is absolutely positively mine.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Tyler Dunn joins us. He writes for Bleacher Report. Tyler, we've been talking about your article all afternoon long. So I'm wondering, you point out that when they were at their peak, they were finding mismatches and Aaron Rodgers' stunning accuracy and cerebral quarterback play was incredible.
But then the talent drained. Why? What happened? Why did they fall asleep at the wheel, literally and figuratively?
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for having me, man. And you just nailed it. It really was this sublime, unstoppable force of an offense. I mean, Ryan Grant's talking about going into meetings and their opponents are building up an opponent, whether it's the Vikings, the Bears, and they're chuckling inside. I mean, because they know nobody can stop them. They know exactly what they're going to run and that talent would win. Greg Jennings will beat you one-on-one. JerMichael Finley will dominate your linebacker in coverage. I mean, Jordy Nelson on the back shoulder throws, are you kidding me? But I just think that everybody just kind of got, you know, full of their own juice, as one scout put it with McCarthy, and drunk off success, drunk off power, and thought they were the reason why. And when it's the two most important people within the organization, the head coach and the quarterback, that's a problem. I mean, Mike McCarthy gave Aaron Rodgers that freedom pre-snap, post-snap, to kind of freelance, and he took more and more advantage of that freedom as that talent drained, as they didn't keep all those receivers or they got older, and it just became a mess because McCarthy didn't adapt, and really they're both to blame equally. I mean, that was something that came up again and again. There were really strong opinions on both sides just by posing that simple question to guys, what the heck happened? A lot point the finger at the quarterback's personality, the quarterback's leadership, that insubordination, a lot to the coach just checked out.
Why did McCarthy fire Alex Van Pelt?
With Van Pelt and all assistants in Green Bay, and I don't know if this is uncommon. I think a lot of teams do this, you know, to keep continuity. He'd give them security, you know, multi-year contracts, but assistant coaches weren't able to interview, you know, for other jobs when the getting was good. So, I mean, when they're going to the NFC Championship game, you know, against Seattle, and, you know, an offensive coordinator or QB coach could get a big-time job like Ben McAdoo did. For other guys, they're kind of like, you know, they can't get out of the situation because he's not letting them get those interviews. So I think with Van Pelt, he became really close with Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers respected him as an intellectual equal. He was a former quarterback. I think Van Pelt pushed him and challenged him. And McCarthy wanted, from what I've heard, he wanted Van Pelt to get close with Rodgers on and off the field. And it just got to a point where, yeah, he was maybe a little threatened by him. And when Van Pelt's contract was up and he had missed his opportunities to get an OC job elsewhere but wanted to stick around at that point, McCarthy just didn't retain him. And that was something that came up a few times with people in the organization. So Mike McCarthy really could have saved himself if he was open to that idea of a bright offensive mind, an innovator, you know, whether somebody outside the organization to come in, run the offense, adapt, because the talent just wasn't there anymore. But he did not want to go that route, and it just, you know, ended up kind of biting him in the butt.
Was that the beginning of the end?
You know, honestly, if you're talking beginning of the end, I think it's crazy enough. I think the seeds were really planted the day that they became this arranged football marriage. You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he holds grudges, and it's what makes him great. It's what makes him different. That chip on the shoulder is real. It's unlike anybody in any sport. It's MJ level, Kobe level. Yet he would not forget that Mike McCarthy chose Alex Smith number one and was a part of that decision with San Francisco, and he sat in that green room for 4.5 hours. So it was planted there. It got worse even due to success, even when they're winning the Super Bowl, even when they're going 15-1. He's talking to people close to him at the time, saying that he's bailing his coach out. The wrong plays are getting called, but the wrong personnel kind of describes him as a buffoon of sorts, and he just didn't respect him. I think that's probably it. I mean, early on, when you think they had this great thing going, there wasn't a lot of respect there, and it came to a head in 2018 when he really was taking that to a different stratosphere and changing plays regularly and doing what he wanted post-snap regularly.
It does strike me, Tyler Dunn, who's authored an article for Bleacher Report that kind of goes into the dysfunction that led to the breakup in McCarthy and Rodgers in Green Bay. You can follow him on Twitter at Ty Dunn, TYDUNNE. Tyler Dunn joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. It's interesting because, look, the rest of the league had to know how stale their offense got, and a lot of this had to get back to, for example, the Jets, who many people thought, young quarterback, why not put him with their young quarterback? And yet they passed. How much of this is the real reason that Mike McCarthy doesn't have a head coaching job?
People in the NFL know these things, right? I mean, and they're all over the place. I mean, you see a lot of former Packer guys, you know, with other teams. Look at Cleveland. I mean, they had a head coaching vacancy themselves. I was guilty as charged. I'm thinking that's a perfect, you know, situation for Mike McCarthy to go to Cleveland, work with Baker Mayfield. You know, he's got John Dorsey there, Elliott Wolf, Alonzo Highsmith, a lot of guys. Yet they only stuck with Freddie Kitchens. They had a good thing going there. They're just going to keep it. I think that by and large, you know, people look at the film and they don't see the route combinations. They don't see the misdirection, the motion. There was a source there in the front office with the Packers who's no longer there who told me that McCarthy basically ran the same routes for 7 years, and cornerbacks on other teams in the division are literally calling those routes out pre-snap. Remember early on with that slant? You know, Rodgers would hit Jennings or Driver on a slant. It was like automatic. He said they just disappeared because they knew it was coming, and teams know this.
So what's left in Green Bay? I mean, look, their talent is decent. There's also a piece in there where Ted Thompson was falling asleep in meetings.
Yeah, he was not Ted the last couple years at least. A little vague on when his health started to go downhill, but yeah, there was somebody in those meetings that said Ted is literally falling asleep, slurred speech, and nobody stepped in to kind of save him from himself, and he's kind of running the show. The way he put it is like, this is the GM? Are you kidding me? So, I mean, there's blame to go around. I think if to drive it forward, the shining light here, if you're a Packer fan, is Mark Murphy is stepping in. It's a little overdue. I mean, he should have stepped in when Ted's health was going downhill. Ted should have stepped in when the relationship between Rodgers and McCarthy was beyond repair. But finally, Murphy has stepped in. They believe in Matt LaFleur. They think that he'll challenge Aaron Rodgers. Big picture, they think he'll challenge the team. They think this is the right choice for the team. So they basically told Aaron, look, this is who we're going with. You know, we don't necessarily need your approval, in so many words. Don't be the problem. Don't be the headline. Let's get this thing together because there's still a Super Bowl window open. And I think that's good for the Packers. They need somebody to take charge because, like, I mean, they don't really have that Jerry Jones owner. They don't have that one voice to really kind of ball up a fist and slam it on the table. That they needed somebody to do that, and that de facto owner is Murphy. I think that's a good sign moving forward. Now, will Aaron Rodgers look in the mirror and be self-aware and take coaching? Because, you know, for better or worse, he hasn't really played within the confines of an offense in quite some time.
Yeah, you mentioned LaFleur. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's interesting. Getting to know Aaron Rodgers a little bit, he is a guy that can run hot and cold and completely shut people out. How has he reacted to the coaching change thus far to people inside those front offices?
That's a great question. One I tried to figure out best I could. I think it's up in the air. They haven't been together a lot. They haven't spoken a lot. You know, Aaron Rodgers is out of the country, really. When LaFleur was named the coach, it took him a while to talk. I think Greg Jennings said, knowing Aaron Rodgers like he knows him, he thinks he's going to make life tough on him. JerMichael Finley said, look, this is a guy making $200 million, you know, $180 he could actually make. And he sees a self-entitled quarterback who's going to just take what he's done and take it to a new level because he got paid. I guess.
We would all agree he's not an idiot. And whatever self-awareness he may at times lack, He doesn't lack awareness for kind of the world in general, and he's got to know that he's got to work with somebody if he wants to get back to the Super Bowl, and that will cement his legacy, and that is important to him, is it not?
I would think so. I would hope so. I mean, for the Packers' sake, will he hand the ball off to running backs 47 times in a conference championship game like a Tom Brady? It's little things like that, you know, maybe taking that throw underneath the defense that's there instead of holding the ball for the play downfield. He's going to have to make those sacrifices, as Greg Jennings put it, and Jennings isn't so sure that he'll make those sacrifices.
Tyler Dunn, read his piece on Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy and
everything that's been going on inside the Green Bay Packers. It's outstanding. It's available at Bleacher Report, or just follow Tyler on Twitter, at T-Y-Dunne, D-U-N-N-E. Tyler, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, man. Thanks so much for having me on.
Pleasure is all mine.